Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. It is Thursday again, 7 o'clock, and we are here to talk about the Feast of the Harvest. And last week I had the opportunity to really share my heart because it grieved about some things, and it really dealt with the harvest, but it really dove into fear. And so, and I laid a caveat out there. I laid the foundation for what I wanted to talk about and why I wanted to talk about it and how explicit it was that we have the ability to move forward without fear. I've come to learn that the many people that heard that were reaching out to me because there were certain statements, and that I know is true, that black people are afraid to go forward, you know, because of the fear of what may happen to them. So they create this strife and this fight between each other. And it somehow kind of dismantles what they're trying to do. And so I want to dive into that, but at a later time period, I want to deal with the Feast of Harvest from a perspective, because all of these things that God is getting us ready for, we must be mindful of. You know, we must be mindful that we are the wheat and not the tare. You know, but before we do that, let's go into a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, O God. God, we have come this far by faith, leaning on you, the Lord, trusting in your holy word, because you have never failed us, even up to this very day. So, God, we are grateful for that. Lord, I pray, God, that the words that I speak tonight, Father, be edifying for the body of Christ, O Lord, that spiritually unseen sector of people that are not located in a building called church, but they're mobile, they're moving, and Father, they are alive. So God, I pray for them, and I pray for those that want to be a part of that movement, a part of those people, Father, God, that you pull them in. God, I don't have a key to unlock that door for them. You do. And God, whatever you give me, Lord, to help them see you, God, that is what I want to do. And God, I'm called to your people, Father, my kindred, my people, O Lord. And God, I need those words that you would give me that will lift them up and not just motivate them, but God, encourage them to do and to act. So, Lord, we thank you. We leave all of these things, O God, that we should do in your hands, and that you lead us, Father, to this dark place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight it's going to probably take me the whole entire hour, and I might even go over. And if I do, you all forgive me. But I really got something I need to spread, something I need to give. And it's complete understanding about something and an issue. And I believe that once you hear these things, that you're going to be really blessed because of how religious people put it out there. It's very difficult to grab, you know, other than the fact of it being sitting vitriol at people and things of that nature. I don't want anyone to pick biblical text or content up as if they have the Bible as a weapon in their hand and they go beat people across the head with it because that wasn't the purpose of it. We like to call the Bible the basic instructions before leaving earth. But there's nothing basic here. There is some in-depth things, and if we look at it basically, then we are taking away the strength of it, and we're not taking it in the context by which God has given it to us. So we're going in the book of Leviticus, and the specific chapter number 18. A lot of people know a certain verse out of this chapter, Leviticus chapter number 18. But this deals with the Feast of the Harvest, and I want to tell you how. God's harvest are his people. And he left instructions for his people. Before we get to the book of Leviticus, we find in the book of Genesis that God dealt with Abraham, and as he dealt with Abram before his name became Abraham, and he blesses him and makes him the father of many nations, when he changes his name, he gives him a promise. And through him comes the lineage of his harvest. I want y'all to grab a hold of that. The lineage of his harvest. And so I'm going to address some things tonight. And for all those that really have an ear to hear, I want you to hear. But I want you to also hear the deceit now that the devil has that he wants to bring in the midst of this. See, God didn't have a plan, you know, for disobedience. He had a plan for obedience. And so he dealt with disobedience. But what he gave as instructions was for his people, and he wanted them to follow this because he did not want them to look like, act like, where he just delivered them from. I want y'all to get that now. And so we like to be in context. We read the Word of God that we call the Word of God, the Bible. You know, there are many more books than just the 66 that's in this book we call the Bible. So God's word is bigger than these 66 books. So let's just dive off into this. We're going to, and you can turn with me to the 18th chapter in the book of Leviticus. I know people are like, oh, God, what is he going to do? And I want to read the entire, we're going to stop in parts. And that's why I say I'm going to take up the whole entire hour just discussing this, because this is necessary, it's real, right? And now I want you to pay close attention. Leviticus chapter number 18 and verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse number 2, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. Now, I want you, this is the caveat for this now, because this is the very foundation for Leviticus chapter number 18, for the book of Leviticus, but this is what I want you to grab a hold to. God had a messenger, and his messenger was Moses. And it says here now, it is written in this way. He says, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. So he did not want this message given to the world. I want y'all to hear what I'm saying now. He did not ask Moses to speak to the Egyptians. He didn't ask him to go anyplace else. This word was for God's chosen people. And so it goes on. He said, after the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, ye shall not do. Right? So now listen to this now. And then it says, and after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I will bring you, ye shall not do. Neither shall ye in their ordinances. Right? So now, He makes it explicit now that I don't want you doing what was going on in Egypt, and where I'm taking you, there's some foolishness going on there, and you ain't to do that either. Let me see, this is difficult now. This is difficult now, because he's giving them this charge, this challenge, this word. And he said, ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. So now, then he goes on to say, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. So now, not only did he tell Moses to tell my people, but he said, y'all can't do what you did in Egypt, and you can't do what I'm taking you, right? But if you do what I tell you to do now, you will recognize the fact that I am your Lord, right? That's what it says. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. So now, Leviticus really deals with sexual sins. And so when it does this now, he's identifying some things that he saw with Egypt and that he knows is going on where they're headed, right? Now, so it's interesting here now that God knows what you've been through. He knows what he's delivered you out of, but he knows where you taking, where he's taking you. That is some craziness going on there, too. I want y'all to hear this now. I didn't want to talk about this, and I had planned to talk about something else, but he led me down this road. Now, read this again, verse number 6. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord thy God. And who is he talking about? You know, who should I not uncover, right? The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother, and thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness, right? So the father covered the mother, and you should not uncover their nakedness. Now, this is talking about sexually, right? It's talking about sexually. And so I'm going to be as transparent as I possibly can tonight. I want to be honest with you. Right, so this is, he's talking only to the children of Israel. He's talking to nobody else. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, right, or the daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. Y'all got to listen to this now. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or of thy father's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. To uncover what has been covered by God from your sons, your daughters, your mother, your father, right, is identifying something is wrong with you. Now this is covering everything now. So now listen to this now. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, and thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman. So it looks like, when I read this, God is saying this, that this is the situation that was going on in Egypt, and there's something going on in the promised land. I want y'all to grab a hold of this now. Do not let this go over your head. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife, and thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness, right? Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou, right, take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are one. They are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Now, uncover means that you are involved somewhat sexually with these women, and women being involved sexually with these men, all right? And now they're talking about family, kinsmen, and uncovering sometimes is revealing who they are, you know, from a private sexual perspective. I want y'all to listen to me now. This is interesting. Verse number 18, neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness besides the other in her lifetime. Also, thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness, right? Moreover, thou shalt not lie heartily with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. Oh, meaning that you ain't even supposed to deal with the neighbor's wife. Now, you uncover your kinsmen now, relatives, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, nieces, nephews, covered all that. And so, verse number 21, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire in Molech. Neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God, I am the Lord. Now, again, this is some stuff that was going on in Egypt. There's also something going on in the Promised Land. You know, even though that is the land of milk and honey, there are some giants in that land. There are some things that have, some people that have taken control of the land because the children of Israel had left their promise. But it was their promise, and God was leading them back to it, right? So now watch this now. I read verse number 20. Verse 22 says, thou shalt not lie with mankind and with womankind. As with womankind, it is an abomination, right? Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion, right? So now the one that everybody steps like into, and they own this fight with the LGBTQ+ community. I think I got that right. Right. I don't want to offend anybody. I just want to be honest. Right. This is the only verse in this chapter number 18 that they point out as an abomination. But as we go further now, I want you to hear what God tells Moses. Okay. And it's imperative when I get to the end of this, and I'm going to go someplace else because I'm driving a point. We talked about verse number 23. Verse number 24 says, defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomit out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, right, y'all with me, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that shall join with you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. Now, I want to go back to something real quickly, and you have to read this now. So, everything that God told Moses not to do was not just verse number 22. It was everything that led from the first of this to 22, past 22. And then God lets them know in verse number 26, right, that ye therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and thou shalt not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation nor any stranger that sojourn among you, right? And so for all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. I'm going to go a little bit further because I want to get chapter 18 out, and I'm going somewhere. That the land spew not you out also when ye defiled it, as you spewed out the nations that were before you. Uh-oh. Wow. Did we miss something here? Did we miss something? And God says this now, that the land that spewed not you out also when you defiled it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. Something in the milk just ain't clean. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them, shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep my ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs, which you were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourself therein. I'm the Lord their God. So now this says explicitly, and I want everybody to grab a hold of this because I'm talking about the Feast of the Harvest now, right? God was getting his people ready, and he had already made a difference. Now we go back to Exodus chapter number 11. He already had made a difference between Egypt and Israel. He made that a point. And so when Moses in Leviticus chapter number 18 is instructing the children of Israel, he's not having a conversation with Egypt. This wasn't for Egypt, and Egypt is not there. Moses didn't have anything else to say reference Egypt because they had been delivered from Egypt, and the word that God gave wasn't for Egypt, it was for his people. And he just didn't name one thing like you hear the religious people want to get on the LGBTQ plus community. The lesbians and the gays, the transgenders and the bisexuals and what have you, whatever that, you know, continue on, right? He did not address them. He addressed what they do, and he was telling his people, we ain't having that. Now, listen to me real closely now. Because I had one of those crazy questions. Why is it church folk want to address lesbians and gays when the message is not for them? He only was preparing a harvest for himself. And if he was preparing a harvest for himself, if you want to be a part of this harvest, these are the things that you must be mindful of. Now, I'm going to go a little bit further now. Not one time did he ask anyone biblically in context to go out and give vitriol or show up the folks that were practicing Egyptian customs. Not one time. And then he warns them that the things I'm getting ready to tell you didn't just happen where I got you out of, they're happening where I take you. And I'm just telling you, I don't want you to do this. That's interesting now, that the people that call themselves the church has not read this to discover this message is to you, not to the world. And it didn't say that the world had defiled the land. It says you defiled the land. Uh-oh. Go read it. It's right there. He didn't tell the children of Israel that the Egyptians defiled the land. He said, you defiled the land. There is not enough teaching that is happening to prepare the harvest when your focus is on what the world is doing. I know I got some of y'all just tied up under your collar. Not one time did I say that lesbian, homosexuality, rest of that stuff is okay. I didn't say that. Why am I not addressing that? Because that's not the message. That's not the message Jesus or God sent. God didn't say address that in Egypt. He said, Moses, tell my people. Now, which causes something real difficult here now, something we must consider. And that's the biggest elephant in the room that nobody will ever talk about. It's not that we have homosexuals that participate in the present day church activity. They've been there for years. They've been there for years. That ain't the elephant in the room. Here is the biggest elephant in the room that nobody would ever talk about, and they'll just keep going over it. And for this reason, the harvest now is not being attended to. You're so afraid that somebody gonna find out what you're doing, you have pointed your focus on something that Jesus never addressed. He only addressed what was going to make the ones that would follow him be selected as a part of a bride. And here we are running around here posting stuff on Facebook about some boys, and we're saying that because these boys are dressed like women, that they castrating the black man. The devil is a lie. And we are on the case of people that have decided to raise their sons like a girl, or a woman that adopted two boys and raised them like a girl. That ain't the message God told you to send. He said, tell my people the customs that you were used to, that you participated in. It generally wasn't homosexuality. It was guys that was cheating on their wives, having sex with their sisters, their wife's sister, or stranger's sister, women that were having sex with their husband's father, their father having sex with their son's wife, men that were raping their daughters. Oh, y'all talk to me now. We ain't talking about that. We ain't talking about the pastors that were having sex with their son's wives and making their wives feel as though that they were obligated to have sex with them. Oh, no, we ain't talking about that. No, we won't talk about that. That's too revealing. Because that shouldn't be happening in the church. But all of these things were considered abominations. So why is it so easy to point the homosexuals out when they over there doing their thing? It's the ones that's inside that call themselves, here's the big elephant in the room now, a part of the body of Christ. Uh-oh. Because they say they are part of the body of Christ, they must be, as if them saying it gives them access to it. God never told us. Jesus never revealed who was a part. That was none of your business who was a part. He used the greatest parable and said, let the wheat grow up with the tares. I'll separate them. I'll do it. Because if you do it, you're going to destroy some wheat. Look at the wisdom of Jesus. He never gave man the power to shape another person to enter into the kingdom. You don't have enough wisdom to do that. So we think because of the word holiness, for living holy, that we can now say who is in and who's not. The devil is a liar and a deceiver too. Here in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 18, it says all of these things are abominations. Not one, all of these. Everything that he told Moses that they shouldn't do, he targeted and explicitly wanted them. You read it? Go back to verse number one. This was only for the children of Israel. This was not for the world. And we want the world to live right. We ain't got it straight. If they see you love, walk like you're supposed to, not be judgmental, don't pick up the Bible and throw it at people, they would want to be a part of what you're doing. But because you, if it rains, your nose so stuck up in the air of you believing that you got it all, if it rains, you're going to drown. And you forgot that this word was to you first. God didn't leave it out now. He said, don't forget now, you defiled the earth first. Remember that scripture that says, forgive, and if you don't learn how to forgive, then I'm going to hold this against you. Well, look at what people are doing now. They call themselves believers, walkers upright, or Christians, or whatever you want to call them, and yet they're trying to hold this thing over people, and God said, that ain't what I told you to do. I didn't tell you to hold this over their head. I told you. This is to you. I can't read this Bible and then come at you like it didn't have anything to do with me. I've got to be mindful of the dirt that I did. And there were truckloads of it. Let's be transparent. I know it's quiet. I know y'all just like, this boy, I lost his mind. Huh? On the contrary, if you want people to live, a wise man once told me, and I think I've quoted this, and if he hear me, he know that I got this from him. Let your walk talk louder than your talk. You can say whatever you want. People watching you. And you can get up and preach about homosexuality and stuff, and yet your girlfriend is sitting next to your wife. That's an abomination because she's a stranger. She's your neighbor. That's an abomination. Uh-oh. So your faith is no different from the one that's a man lying with a man or a woman with a woman. You are now lying with your neighbor. God didn't exclude you out of that. Now, let's go to something different. And because this is the harvest now. We're talking about the harvest. We ain't talking about nothing but the harvest. Proverbs chapter number 6. I know that devil mad now, you know. I know he mad. He ain't happy at all. I know that devil mad. I'm going somewhere. I ain't got there yet. I'm almost there. I want you all to hear this now. We're going to castrate too many people and try to make it seem like this is what God said. God didn't. We took what he said out of context, and we didn't say it in its proper context. Y'all with me? I just really, really, y'all with me? This is some difficult stuff now. Proverbs chapter number 6. And if you're leisure, I want you to read, start beginning of the first verse. But tonight, for the sake of, I got to get through something because I'm going somewhere with this. We're going to start reading at verse number 16. Listen to these now. These 6 things doeth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. And then there's a colon there, right? Which means that I want y'all to hear what comes after this. It says now, listen to this again now, verse number 16. Proverbs chapter number 6, verse number 16. these six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. What's the first one? A proud look. Number two, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. I'm going to talk about these now. A heart and a heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. And a false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. Wow. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them unto thy neck. So now, that's the scripture that people remember. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother and bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them around thy neck. They don't read what came before that. So now, in Proverbs, we hear that all these different sexual dysfunctions that people have and that folks that are continuing to do, you know, we have women and men of God, right, that have multiple sexual partners. We have swingers, right? But they think that they're not an abomination because it's not woman on woman or it's not man on man. But all these sexual dysfunctions that I call them are abominations. Isn't that crazy that you pointed the finger at someone and you are just as guilty? You may not be laying man with man or woman with woman, but man, you looked at your wife's sister, your neighbor. That's an abomination. That's what it says. But let me go a little bit further. In Proverbs, it says, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Now, check this out now. Here's another thing that is wrong with these crazy people that attack young ladies that had abortions. If abortion's wrong, I wouldn't advise anybody to get an abortion. My logic behind that, I'm a man, I don't have a right to tell a woman what to do with her body. I would not advise her to have an abortion. But that thing is between her and God. The religious people that say that, you know, you got the blood on your hands because you're killing innocent babies and things of that nature, I want y'all to go back now where in the book of Leviticus, it talks about a man destroying his seed. I want y'all to go look that up. That's an abomination. Y'all need to go look that up. You men, you know, that are destroying your seed, that's an abomination. Your faith is no different than the man that's having sex with a man or a woman with a woman. But you're not going to go on Facebook. You're not going to stand up politically and let folks know that's what you're doing. Because it's easy to point out those people that feel they are being abused. It's easy to point them out. You don't want to point a finger at yourself. But let's let that rest for a minute. Let's go over here to in Proverbs where it says, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. So it wasn't just talking about abortions. What's it talking about that? The hands that shed innocent blood. You know, there are so many different narratives that are going on out here. You know, nobody wants to consider themselves. As a matter of fact, I mean, I had even a discussion with a pastor where, I mean, he posted something about the LGBTQ community trying to get their rights. And folks say, putting out there, shaking my head, you know, they don't understand that this is an abomination. I want y'all to read this now, you know, because verse 16 in chapter 6 says, these 16 doeth the Lord hate, ye 7 are even abomination unto him. Are they putting up how proud they are? That's a question. Are they talking about how many times they lied, lying tongue? Just a question now. How much innocent blood they have shed, not just babies. Not just babies. How many people that have been involved with just killing, destroying for no reason? And I am talking about the harvest. Y'all don't get that, do you? Because these are the things that God is asking his own people, not the world, his own people. And the harvest is for him, not for you. You are God's harvest. And he can leave you and not harvest you because you only took a part of what he said and you didn't understand what he was after. So let's just go a little bit further. It says, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. Whoa, man. Lord Jesus, a heart that devises wicked imaginations. You on purposely devise something to make another person look bad, and it's a lie. That's an abominable offense in God's eyes. I'm going somewhere. I just want you to read this now. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Now, I'm going to close the book. I got a few minutes left. I'm going to talk. Because this is something I really want you all to get. No longer can somebody tell me that a political organization is a representation of God. That is not his heart. No longer can somebody tell me that God put the president in the White House. No, he didn't. That was people's choice. That is not his heart. Now, these things happen to take your mind off really what's going on. And when you get involved in the vitriol and the back and forth trying to say that God was involved in this, if he hates it, why would he be involved with it? Now, he can use anybody he wants to. We're talking about his hearts. And where evangelical Christians will support a man that we just read completely about. You know, uncovering the nakedness, he did that, you know, and many, not just him, have done that. Many leaders have been caught up in some sexual misconduct. You know, many leaders have had their hands on innocent blood. They caused mischief. They ran to it. They created devices to divide the brethren, you know. So how now is God involved with it when he said he hates it? I think what would be interesting, if everybody that pointed a finger at the other person, God just decided to unveil to them and to everybody else what abominations they're involved in. That would be crazy for God to bring them down to the same playing field that folks would want to point the finger at, just the homosexuals, the lesbians, or the gays, LGBT, the transgenders, all that. It would be interesting to see how they thought they was on one side, but when they saw God standing on the other side, and they was over there with them, the ones they were pointing a finger at, they're standing there with them, and God is not with them. That would be interesting. If there's a harvest, and there is one, man ain't in control of. That harvest God is doing the picking. He's already laid out a platform, and he wasn't laying the platform out for the world. Now, Jesus can't save the world because, you know, he came for the Jews, but they received him not. And so he adopted. He reached out to everyone. But even when he talks, if they come to him, he addresses them. They don't come to him, he don't have anything to say bad or negative about them. They brought a woman to him that committed an abomination because she was a prostitute. She was having sex with different men. According to the Old Testament, he shouldn't even be around her. But when they brought her to him, he said, you know, even without sin, let him cast the first stone. They dropped the stones. And Jesus said, woman, where are the accusers? And they had left. He showed her love. He said, go now, sin no more. He didn't get up and have this big old thing to say, represent. He just said, go. He loved her. He showed her love and forgiveness, and she followed him. Look how religious people are. And if we look at the woman that was at the well, she had many husbands, you know, and God told, Jesus told her that the one you're with ain't yours. Look at this abomination. But he was standing in the midst of her. And she said, I perceive thou art a prophet. And when Jesus finished with her, she left there with a message. Come see a man. There's a difference in how we see the harvest of God and how Jesus is doing the picking. There's a great difference in it, but we are dogmatic and very religious on how we think people should act, how we think people should be, what we think they should say, how we think they should live. And the orders were given by God in the book of Genesis and Leviticus. Leviticus is where he lays it out. This is what for his people. And when the ones that had issues came to him, he forgave them. And they became more of a follower of Christ and the present-day people that call themselves Christians. They're ready to talk about the Christendom and not Jesus. Christ means anointed one. He was the one that was anointed. But he never came that you would be anointed. He said that when the Holy Ghost come, or the Holy Spirit, ye shall have power. Not anointing. He was the anointed one, but power. That was the authority that Adam had gave up. He was delivering back to us. Interesting thought I'm leaving with you today, because this is about the harvest. Last week, yeah, I talked about the things that black people are afraid of moving forward. This too, because we made homosexuality a black issue, and it's not. We made those things of castrating the black man, of homosexuality, the devil is a lie. It's not. I submit unto you that you see these things. You call yourself a follower of Christ. What would Jesus do is what we say. We really don't believe that. Because if we did anything that Jesus did, if we followed and did anything like Jesus did, when you ran into any one of these people that were being accused, you have enough power in them to forgive them and then point them straight to Jesus and watch them follow him. Essence of this is the harvest is plentiful, you're picking and choosing who is in the harvest. Don't be left on the side of the road like tares, like poison, like something nobody can eat, something that Jesus don't want, because you hadn't acted anything like him. You acted just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And I'm going to leave this with you. That's all a Republican and a Democrat is, a Pharisee and a Sadducee. They're no more trying to represent God or trying to do what Jesus did. It's all about them and how dogmatic religious they are. Well, dear heart, this is the harvest. This is the harvest. And it's about the harvest of Jesus. He's coming back for it. We're in that season. If you read anything biblical, the reason for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and what happened after that, we stay at this thing called Easter, and it's bigger than that. Because after Jesus rose, what happened? He stayed around the people for 40 days. For 40 days, which meant that around May 18th or May 20th would have been the time period that Jesus ascended for those 40 days. Time he got up out of here, the 20th, 21st. And on the 30th, those 50 days, the harvest was complete. And he sent back the Comforter. That means that during that time period when Jesus was here, the children of God, the followers, the apostles, the disciples, they were all hidden and away. And it wasn't until the day of Pentecost that they were released. Isn't it epic that a pandemic is out here? Everything that follows the time period of when the children of Israel were delivered to the time period of when Jesus was taken to the cross, all the feasts follow that time period. And the only time that the people came out was when the Holy Ghost came back. They were hidden away in the upper room, and while they were there, Peter was teaching, getting them on one mindset, one accord, no division amongst them. They wasn't talking about, you know, money. They weren't talking about anything but knowing the teachings of Jesus Christ. And when they came out from that room on that 50th day, the harvest was complete, and that was the day of Pentecost. They left with power over and above anything that you could ever ask or think. So pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we don't want to be religious people. Father, we want to be people that love. And we want the same spirit that Jesus had, let alone not the same spirit, oh God, by itself, but the power, oh Lord. That when someone would be brought to us because of some sexual deviant sin that they have committed, that we would look at the ones that were accusers of them and remind them of one small feat. If you haven't committed a sexual sin, put your stones, throw the stones. But if you have, put them down. And then Jesus can minister to the person that you accused, that you brought to find fault in. I guarantee you, once they feel the love of Christ, they'll turn from whatever they were doing and they'll follow him. That's the harvest. That's the harvest. Jesus knows that. That's why he sent the disciples away before he met the woman at the well, because they were religious people. Their mind wasn't ready for what he was getting ready to do. Only he knew. Stop trying to put these people in a position that they're going to fall. God, I ask that you be with us through this, that you help us, you bless us. God, that you lead us, because this is your harvest, not ours. Father, these are your people and the sheep of your pasture. The word that you have is for the believers, O God, and we have to live a life that those that don't believe would want to know. I bless you, O God. Again, Father, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear hearts, if you feel like you got set up tonight, probably did. I want you to think. I want you to be more like Christ. If you are the harvest, if you are his harvest, you are the sheep of his pasture. Love should be at the forefront of your mind. Jesus didn't have time to talk about what somebody did wrong. He wanted to love them out of it that they would do right. Blessings to you. And may the Lord be with you through this time period. God bless you until next Thursday. I'll see you then.